Hello, good morning or good evening, wherever you're listening, however you're listening. Thank you for downloading the Match Build Up Show podcast. And what a week it's been. Tuesday night went down in history. Saints' biggest ever win at Fratton Park. And plenty to savour, plenty of souvenirs. But we'll be talking more on that later on in the show. But this is back to our bread and butter and Premier League action this weekend as Saints make their first official visit to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium this Saturday. So on the show this week, I'm joined by one of our fan cam regulars, Adil Tariq, and we dig into the Pompey result and we preview, of course, ahead to the Spurs game this weekend. And I ask, is it a free hit or how much energy have we spent on Tuesday? I think a lot. But let me know your thoughts by getting in touch on the usual social means. And our conversation was taken from our live match preview video and we take questions from the viewers as we go. And of course, then an away game would not be complete without your bite-sized away guide. So join me later on in the show for that after our chat. But for now, let's get into it. This is the Ugly Inside Uncut. Tottenham Hotspur versus Southampton big match build-up show. Yeah, we are indeed live. I've just checked it on YouTube. We've got a little bit of a delay on our chat, but Adil is with me, occasionally seen on our sort of fan reaction videos. I guess sort of your first appearance of the season, mate. How have you been?
Been great, mate, especially after last night. What a win, you know. Couldn't be happier. Yeah, sorry, Freddie. I've just explained before, I've moved from the Itchen North to the family stand, so it's a lot more difficult to get to your side of the stadium to do the interviews after the game, especially when the North Park is closed. So I'm sorry about that. But yeah, glad to be back. I've got 100% record. Last time we did a preview, we went on to beat Huddersfield away 3-1. So fingers crossed, I'm a good omen.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was good to speak to you back then as well. So do get your questions in on the YouTube comments. So we can see five of you already joining us live on YouTube. Hello, Leo, there in the comments. So get your comments in, anything you like about last night's game, Saturday's fixture, anything you like to talk to us about. And we'll be answering your questions during the show. But before we address anything else moving forward, then why the live video? So Adil and I were just sort of chatting off air, if you like, but for the viewers at home and for you watching live on YouTube, I'm trying to reduce the load and the effort and the time sort of that I spend almost every single week. Now, our live video would allow us to knock out this sort of match preview in one night, rather than spending sort of two or three evenings a week. And also I'm spending a lot of my time at work, which is limited and a bit naughty, to be honest. And I'm getting a bit stick at home from my family, you know, and my fair ladies. We want to spend more time together. So just getting quite agitated as well. And it is consuming my life. So hopefully with these live videos, we can interact with you more, engage with you more in real time. So unfortunately, won't be any more sort of green screen gimmicks, if you like, but just pure Saints chat. There will be an occasional swear, so Adil, please don't fucking swear.
No, I definitely won't.
Save that for the interviews. But there will be an occasional slip of the tongue. But look, get typing your questions, your lineups, your predictions for the weekend. Already see Ryan there in the comments with a Southampton to win 2-1. There you go, Ryan. There's your comment just on screen. So I'm going to be playing around with this as we go along. So if you see me sort of drift off in terms of engaging with your chat there, Adil, it's because I'm trying to figure out what sort of comments we can
I just
publish.
Want to say, Freddie, I mean, obviously, just thanks for all your effort. And we've been there cold night after, you know, losing to Crystal Palace 2-1, 90 minutes and doing the ugly inside, frozen fingers holding the camera. And I really appreciate your effort, giving us fans a voice. Me, my brother, you know, a couple of the other lads that I know that go to the game. So your effort's really appreciated, carrying on this channel and giving us fans a voice. So you're doing a really good job.
Thank you, mate. I really appreciate that. And, you know, It does take a lot of time, as I say. But get your type on your team lineups, anything you have to ask about the Pompey result, the score predictions for Saturday, and our first official visit to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Look, Adil, last night, we better talk about it. Brilliant win, historic win, Portsmouth 0, Southampton 4. Where else to start then? How do you feel about that?
Amazing, elated. I just can't describe how I was feeling. As a young Saints fan, the last time I remember us beating them was the FA Cup 2-1, you know, smashing result at the time. Had to wait 14 years, though. Was thinking, hoping in when we win the championship, we do the double over them. The double never came. And that David Norris, you know, last minute goal hurt like anything. And I just wanted so much since then to go back and get the revenge. And, you know, it's come in good timing where we, you know, under Mark Hughes and Pellegrino, wouldn't fancy to have played them. And now we got them. Last night, the first 20 minutes were so nerve-wracking. It was unbelievable. You know, Portsmouth knocking on the door. They hit the post. You know, there was that goal line clearance. But as soon as our players got into the game, you know, got it into their system, how important it was, we went and we smashed them. Could have been 5 or 6, to be honest, to us.
Yeah, and as you say, sort of the first 20 minutes, so they did have their chances to go ahead, you know, forcing McCarthy into a save and a sort of scramble around that 6-yard box. And I guess the whole result as well is kind of a chance for us to sort of wash away that fake derby nonsense from Friday, right?
Yeah, I mean, Bournemouth, if they were our rivals, I mean, they were celebrating and the free printing. But this is the real derby, you know, this one's got the hundreds of years of history behind it. My old man works at the docks. He understands how important this game is. Started at the docks, the rivalry, and, you know, it's gone out into both cities. And, you know, there's only one team in Hampshire, that's us. We're in the same county. These are our rivals. Bournemouth aren't our rivals. You know, Reading aren't our rivals. It's not Brighton. It's Portsmouth. And to beat them 4-0, you know, nothing matters more.
Absolutely. And tell us your reaction. How do you feel after last night's result from last night? In the comments, tell us how you were coping this morning, maybe after a sort of a Wednesday morning, back to work sort of hangover. But as you say, you know, Saints, we did struggle to get our foot in the ball. You know, it could be said that they perhaps weren't up for the challenge in the first 20 minutes, not reacting too well to perhaps the hostility and the scummer chance on the front rows of the Fratton ends.
Yeah, I think we were surprised. Hasenhüttl thought he had it under control. You know, I've been managing in Germany. I've done rivalries before. But everyone was surprised. Been 7 years, a lot of anger, a lot of tension built up in that time. They're jealous of our success. We're in the Premier League. They've been in League Two and League One. So, you know, they really wanted to get us a win, and that'd be important for them. So they did everything to provoke our players, you know, try and get in their faces. The fans were throwing the balls at them, you know, not passing it when it was come to throw in. And you're so close to the scummers, it's unreal. But we've got experience there. Jan Bednarak, Yoshida, internationals who've played in big games, and they just let it get out of the system. And Cedric as well. And we gave them the 20 minutes. All right, fair enough, they came close. But our quality showed, especially every time we went forward, we looked like we were going to score. Mm. But them, no.
Well, the breakthrough goal, Danny Ings on the score sheet. I guess it sort of at the time, it settled the nerves, didn't it? You know, we sort of imposed our presence on the game after that. And we sort of imposed our presence a little like the police force around the ground.
Yeah, I mean, apparently we were all meant to be heading home in ambulances last night and it didn't happen. So jokes on Portsmouth. I mean, yeah, Danny Ings gets the goal and... you're just breathing again. Sigh of relief, a little bit of pressure taken off. And yeah, I mean, it was, I was on the sofa, jumped up, went room full of people hugging each other. And yeah, it was, I just can't describe the feeling, just couldn't.
Well, it was pure bedlam in the way end last night as well. You know, sort of strangers, as you would not ordinarily, kind of go mad when Saints score a goal. And weren't any different, probably heightened, in fact, of the goal at Fratton. And if we talk about Danny Ings' second goal, Obafemi, what a perfect through ball. I didn't sort of see it quite well in real time at the ground, but it was a ball that sort of sliced the portion of defence. And Danny Ings, a composed Premier League finish, just dinks it over the goalkeeper, succeeding with what should be a statuesque kind of celebration.
Yeah. I know. I mean, Obafemi, what an intelligent player he is, because he came into the team a couple of years ago and everyone's like, oh, this guy has just got pure pace. He's not going to bring anything. But I've looked at the pass time and time again. I mean, there's something Kevin De Bruyne would be proud of if he played that pass. But yeah, what a ball by Marco Obafemi. Danny Ings, beautiful finish. You want to see that more consistently with him. And then obviously the Stutcher celebration, amazing. And quite a dash. Hush the Portsmouth fans. Local lad, must have been killing him.
Absolutely. And what a way to do it. Pissing down in rain, sliding on his knees. The only thing that was missing was just a shut your mouth sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, It was actually in front of, believe it or not, a couple of so the disabled supporters. There wasn't room in the away end, so a couple of my friends were going. Mark Harper, you know him. It was right in front of him. Their celebration. So if you see the photo taken, there's a couple of the disabled fans putting their thumbs up and they're celebrating. So yeah, that was their treat because they went with the 2000 Southampton fans. So it was a great goal and a great delight to see them, Danny Ings celebrate in front of them.
Yeah, a little sort of piece of history, if you like, a bit of a, what did you call it? Sort of a momentum. What's the word I'm looking for? Something momentous. To savour for the... Momentous. Souvenir. That's momentous. The one I'm looking for. Souvenir, yeah. Souvenir for the disabled supporters, the five of them and their and their sort of carers, if you like, just assistants on the front row and the fratting end. But I can't believe that. So, you know, Fratton Park we know it's a stadium that was built in the 1700s from bricks and mortar. They still can't actually update it to the 21st century and put our away visiting supporters in the away end.
Yeah, I know. It's shocking because I think a lot of the fans kind of feared for their safety, you know, going in, a rival game and being sat in, literally, basically being sat in the home end. I mean, they shouldn't be allowed to get away with it. You know, the Football League should stamp down and say, you make room for away fans or, you know, you're going to be charged with a fine or a penalty. I mean, it's not on one bit. Every other side in the country seems to have a section for the disabled supporters. I mean, it is a shed. I mean, Fratton Park is falling down. I mean, it's one of the worst grounds out there. Let's be honest. I mean, even the Portsmouth fans aren't proud of it.
Unbelievable. You know, sort of going through these narrow sort of corridors of lanes up to the way ends and only two turnstiles down there as well. But if we talk about the second half, then they did try their luck a little bit a little bit more. And once again, with a few more pot shots, but similar to our first half, we grew into the game. Any nerves that were sort of there were truly extinguished with the third goal. Brilliantly works goal down the wing from Ings to find Cedric to just sort of smash it home from close range.
I'll be honest with you, Freddie. When I saw the lineup, I thought Hasan Hüttl was showing him a bit of mercy here because if he had Redmond and Boufal on from the beginning, it would have been a cricket score. I mean, beautiful third goal by Cedric and Danny Ings, a bit of clever play. No one sorted the ball. You could see Portsmouth were tired at that point. They'd given up. They're a broken team after, you know, coming out in the second half. All right, they had a few chances, but it wasn't really obvious. I mean, we've got to give a load of praise to, I thought, Cedric, Rashid and Bednarak because they kept their players at bay. Bednarak, you know, that line clearance. Cedric getting forward. Looking like the old Cedric we had 2-3 seasons ago. He's becoming more confident. He's becoming like that player he was that won Euro 2016. I'm happy with his progress. And Yoshida, calm, collective. You know, John McGinn tried to wind him up, elbowed him in the chest, but so calm. And, you know, one of the best team performances I've seen from Southampton.
Absolutely. We showed the grit and sort of true sort of performance that we know that we were capable of. All right, there are two divisions between us, but in the end, it is fair to say, like you said sort of a minute ago, the Premier League quality was showcased in the end and Redmond with that killer blow, which those sort of strikes now are becoming trademark from Nathan.
Love it. I think that left wing, you know, because he come on and he was playing on the right, but that left-hand side, he just cuts in and he shoots. And honestly, every time it scares the defender. I mean, he's a great player. So glad he signed, you know, a new deal. I mean, that killed the fans, the fourth goal, you know, 4-0. That's, you know, real score. And they, if you watch the reactions in the Portsmouth home end when that fourth one went in, oh, it brings a smile on your face because they're swearing at their players, getting at him. I mean, yeah, what a player. I think that left-hand side belongs to him. I know Boufal's been there, used on that side in an attacking three. But, you know, Nathan Redmond, every time he cuts in, you know, you're kind of elated to get off your chair because you think it's going to go in the back of the net. I mean, he's a superb player. I wish he can honour his contract, stay, you know, up until the end because whenever we've had, you know, players like Mane, Van Dijk, Lallana, they've always seek to move to a, you know, new club. But I think Nathan Redmond's a really grounded player and he really gives 100% for the badge and the shirt.
And key figure in the team, really, isn't it? And 4-0 in their own backyard. How good does that sound?
Well, I think we've got a little bit of a chant going on there that we're going to sing at Tottenham. So, 4-0 in their own backyard. Never expected it. Oh, people saying we ain't won there since 84 and blah, blah, blah. But we went and demolished them.
Yeah, brilliant.
They were lucky Moussa Gineppo wasn't playing, because I had a feeling if he started, then we would probably got more goals, because guy just uses quality, and I think he's going to be on him. I think the Mane replacement has finally arrived 3 years late, Freddie, in that one.
Oh, using the M-word around now, are we? Well, look, Moussa Gineppo will be out for the weekend, the visit to Tottenham Hotspur. Has been a key figure, scored two brilliant goals so far this season at Sheffield United and Brighton. What sort of shape do you think we'll be lining up against Tottenham at the weekend? Ryan's got his comment here. His team would be McCarthy, Mayo, Yoshida, Bednarek, Cedric, Bertrand, Redmond, Hoiberg, Romeu, Boufal, Ings, Adams for Saturday.
Let's have the debate, Freddie, because I'm a massive Alex McCarthy fan. One of the players that kept us up in that season, you know, when Pellegrino just couldn't give a monkeys and really put a shift in, was one of the crucial changes in the season and forced and lost all confidence. And then suddenly we see Angus Gunn reappear in goal. And I sat there, he made the mistake against Huddersfield, which apparently cost us £4 million financially. And everyone says he's a young keeper, you know, you've got to give him time. And then I don't know what on earth was going on at the Bournemouth won the third goal. And it looked like Jan Bednarek had it under control. Angus Gunn sort of, you know, pushes himself forward because he wants to kick it long in the last minute and gets in the way. I just think that Alex McCarthy should retain the number one spot. He's calm, he's collective, you know, he's got a strong hand. He comes out for corners, whereas Angus Gunn doesn't show his presence. So for me personally, Alex McCarthy's got to start against Tottenham and he needs to be reinstated as the number one.
Interesting, actually, a comment from, who was that, Botti TJP, just a moment ago. I'm going to show the comment just again. A question about sort of who should be in at right back there. He thinks that Valerie should be starting on Saturday, but not sure now that Cedric has now sort of had a couple of good performances.
I mean, Hasenhüttl must have a massive headache there, because Jan Valerie finished the season, you know, he came into the side when Cedric went on loan to Inter, and he did so well, got himself a couple of goals, did so well. He's great going forward. He has that energy. He's a strong lad. He's quick. And he just wants to get into the opposition box. And then you have Cedric, who you thought was going to leave in the summer, only a year left on his contract. Hasenhüttl, you know, he was out of favour. And then suddenly he's come in the side and he's starting to play well again. And he's, you know, playing for the team, playing for the badge. I mean, so you wish you could play both of them, couldn't you? Because both superb. But I mean, at the moment, I think based on experience, Cedric edges it. But if he rotates against Tottenham, considering, you know, Valerie had a good game against them last time, got the goal, then, you know, I think you can't argue against that. But I think for Jan Valerie, he needs to be playing. I mean, he's not part of the under-23 setup at the moment. He's not playing in the first team. And a player at his age, just signing a new contract, you need to keep him fresh. You need to keep him, you know, in the team, new ideas. I mean, normally in a cup game, there would have been a rotation he would have played. But obviously it was Portsmouth. Hasenhüttl wanted to go for the strongest team and he didn't. But I just think he's a really, really talented individual and deserves to play. It's a real headache for Hasenhüttl. He must be scratching his head, especially on the forward line as well now.
And, you know, there's a couple of questions here actually from, I'm just finding it now, folks. We've got Tam Trainer asking, do you think Obafemi is better on that right wing position? And Mark sort of agrees there. Looked really good there last night. But to be honest, the folks, I think Obafemi will be left out of the team on Saturday. Ralph did actually sort of make five changes for the Tuesday night's game. But I think we also expended quite a lot of energy on this game last night.
Yeah, I think that we did as well. I think the players gave it all. The fans gave it their all as well. I think I really wanted to press them. That was under Hasenhüttl's, you know, playing three quick strikers and Ings, Obafemi and Adams was to give them breathing room. Really press them, have a go. And they did a good job of pressing us, I have to admit. You know, that first 20 minutes, we couldn't really get the ball out the back. Their players gave it all. It kind of reminded me of Wigan away a couple of seasons ago in the FA Cup, where they had the chances in the first 20 minutes, but our quality showed in the end. But Yeah, we did use a lot of energy, but we played on the Tuesday. It gives us, you know, extra day rest than if we had played on Wednesday. So hopefully the players should be ready to go again. And yeah.
Now, this is a game, I think, to be honest, Ralph can't really afford to play players out of position. We've seen that sort of the last sort of 3 weeks in the Premier League, playing Cedric at left back, always trying to cut in on his right. Dan So there, left back as well earlier on the season. He played at right back last week against Bournemouth. I don't think this is the type of game. I think we need all available men on the field. But as I say, maybe the energy has been expended because of Tuesday. What sort of formation do you think he should be fielding at Tottenham?
Well, I think we've got to stick with what we know. I don't like the five at the back, especially with Jannik Vestergaard. I mean, it's just rooms for mistakes and things like that. The five at the back, I've never been a fan of. So I'd stick with what we know, which is the 4-3-2-1 or 4-3-3 that we play. I'd go for that shape. But I think Che Adams has got to be dropped, Freddie. You know, he's been given a lot of chances. When it was Guido Carrillo, after four games, everyone's going, he's rubbish, drop him. I don't think the same about Adams. I think his time will come, but there's players on the bench waiting, Bufal, and obviously Ings has got a start that are, you know, going to really be saying, you know, what have we been doing wrong to be sat on the bench whilst Adams is starting every game? I know he's Hasenhüttl signing in the summer. He had to back his man, but the lad's not got a goal, maybe. And then I think he kept him on for 90 minutes last night, hoping that he'd score. It hasn't happened. He doesn't look full of confidence. So he's got to go with his strongest team. And I'm sorry, he's got to drop Che Adams.
Yeah, actually, Thickly Spread just come in with a comment. It says, Shay, we've got to say Shay. It's not Che as in Che Guevara. It's misfiring at the moment. Yeah. But I think, as you say, we've got to give him time. There was a comment that I saw earlier on Twitter the year that we sort of came up, 2012, 2013, the season that we signed Jay Rodriguez. He didn't score in the first sort of 2 or 3 months of that season. He'd scored 22 goals in the Championship the year before. Sounds like Che Adams this year, right? Scoring 22 last year for Birmingham. Hasn't hit the back of the net just yet, but I think it will come.
Yeah, I remember being quite frustrated with Jay Rodriguez at that time. I mean, yeah, he noticed the difference significantly, but he kind of got in the... I thought Pochettino got the best out of Jay. Sometimes new manager, new ideas. And then I think, you know, the 13-14 season where we had our first full season under Pochettino, and Jay Rodriguez was firing in the goals, was probably going to get into the England team. Mm. And then, unfortunately, the ACL injury happened at Etihad, and that kept him out for nearly 2 years. So, yeah, you've always got to have confidence in these strong young players. You've got to give them time. I mean, there's a similar situation with Pierre-Emile Højbjerg. I mean, let's be honest, his first season under Puel wasn't great. And then he had to spend, two or three months in the under-23s, and then played against Arsenal, and he had an amazing game. It was, even though it was 1-1, he was fantastic that game. And sometimes it just takes a bit of time. You know, maybe perhaps he needs a little small stint in the under-23s because we're not doing very, very well, just to get a couple of goals, get the confidence back, and then maybe head back into the first team. I'm sure Hasenhüttl has plans for him, but you've got to give the other guys a go because that will knock their confidence being on the bench, you know, training hard, and like Bufal, who's been doing well, and I don't think he'd be dropping Redders, but Danny Ings has got to start now after scoring two goals, you know?
Absolutely. I'd go with that. Danny Ings has come off the bench twice in the last sort of Premier League fixtures, scoring only 1 point in the FPL, which I'm quite livid about. Because we know he can score. He scored two great goals last night, you know, against Portsmouth. But we went through the second round to the, is it the fourth round now, is it? I'm losing count already, this Carabao Cup.
Fourth round, yeah. Yep.
Tottenham, though, they crashed out on penalties to Colchester. I think they made about 9 or 10 changes, their second string team over in Colchester. But, you know, the statistic is doing the round. They haven't won away from home since January, but they can win at home. They beat Crystal Palace 4-0 just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but, you know, you can't underestimate a team ever. I mean, away or home, if you're up for it. I mean, we are the last team to beat them at home in the league, I believe. Well, was it the Old White Hart Lane? We were the last team to beat them at the Old White Hart Lane. So, you know, that's a good omen. We've got to go there with confidence because the matter of the fact is the must-win game against Bournemouth, we didn't win. And then we've got Tottenham, Chelsea next. So we're going to have to get something out of the next two. We've got to go there, you know, just play our game and try and win. Their confidence will be low after losing to Leicester and losing to Colchester. I mean, there seems to be things going on that dressing room, Tottenham fans having to go at Eriksen, saying, you know, just bench him for the rest of the season, doesn't want to sign a new contract, you know, and he's probably going to go on a free at the end of the season. And they've got players like Alderweireld and Wanyama situation as well, you know, former Saint there. So, you know, there's a lot going on in that dressing room. And I think there's even some uncertainty about Pochettino. If Real Madrid will keep on losing games and they'll look to replace their manager, and if they offer him a nice amount, he'd happily go back to Spain. So it's really unstable, and unstable times at Tottenham. And we've got to go there and we've got to take advantage. Their heads will be hanging very low after that Colchester defeat. You know, a League Two team. And I think Pochettino's been after a trophy for a while, and Carabao Cup, you know, so, you know, a lot of the bigger teams like Liverpool and United don't go for it as much. But he would have had his focus on there. But
he could have walked in the summer if he won the Champions League, which is, you know, sort of extraordinary to think that Tottenham would win an actual trophy. They're not going to win the Carabao Cup this season, that's for sure. Who knows about the FA Cup? And I don't think they'll be up there for the Premier League. I think another year of top four target, I think, for them as well. But I think it is fair to say we're going to go to the game on Saturday as underdogs. But what do we need to do to retain our pride? I think there's a comment here actually from Tam once again. Would you start long and hit on the counter-attack?
He had a short stint last night, Shane Long. Didn't do much, be honest. He seems like the pace, he's not as quick as he was before, probably down to age. He's approaching, I believe, 33 or 32 now. So I wouldn't start Long. You've got to start Ings, you've got to start your Redmond, and I'd start Boufal in that free. Gutted that Gineppo's out, because I think, you know, him as a player really has an impact every time he comes on. He changed the game against Brighton, you know, against Sheffield United when we just didn't look like scoring. He came on and ran through their team and scored. So, we've got to take, you know, have a bit of courage, play Ings because he'll be confident after scoring against Portsmouth, play Redmond and go for Boufal. And we've got to keep that partnership going. But an interesting statistic I read is that we've not scored in the first half of a PL game this season. So when we come out, it's always like we're a bit sluggish. Like, you know, we're not ready. We want to breeze into the game and things like that. Cost us against Bournemouth. Could have been 3-0 down at halftime. Game against Burnley cost us. And then, we really need to get back into the rift of starting the game well, because once we only seem to start playing once we're a goal behind or something. I mean, yeah, so it's important we go there, take opportunities and have a good first half. I think that's really important to start well and attack them and try and get something.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've been slow to start in the six games of the Premier League season, to some extent as well, also in the Carabao Cup in the previous round before Portsmouth at Fulham, really kind of sluggish sort of first half to that game, and then came out in the second half straight out of the traps as well. But I think, I know I don't like using it often, but because we've expended our energy so much on this Tuesday night game, and our focus was all there as well, you think you've got to say that too. Is this a free hit?
I think just because the fact of the matter is we're on such a good away form, I think it's 3 away wins in a row, 4. I think we've got to go there. And I think we do sometimes have more confidence when we go away rather than because we've not won at home in the season yet. Two losses and a draw. So we really, it's not a free hit, because I just feel like Chelsea coming home next again, it's going to be a difficult fixture. So we have to try and win every game, because come the international break, we might be in the bottom three with our, you know, two games coming. And I think, you know, last season against Tottenham home, when they dominated us in the first half, everyone thought I was, you know, dead and buried. And a couple of people thought, even though it was 1-0, they could have been 4 or 5 up, let's be honest. But we came out second half and, you know, we gave it all we want, all we had, and we won. So I think we've got to go there. We've got to win. I mean, very rarely I say that, but they're doing quite a abysmal form at the moment. You know, their heads will be, you know, dropping and things. So, I think... we have to go there. We have to fight, and we have to get all 3 points.
And we've also got an extra day sort of to rest after this weekend as well, with Chelsea game coming up on the Sunday next week as well. Right then, Adele, let's wrap this up. Let's wrap the show then with some score predictions. I've got some already in the comments here earlier on. Thickly Spread has said 1-0 to the Saints. Quite ambitious. Let's show that just for one more moment there. And again, Botti has been commenting 1-0 to the Saints. Up the Saints, 1-2-3, says 2-1 to the Saints. A lot of positivity in the comments. Is that just on the euphoria of last night?
Yeah, I think it is. I think we go, our rivals probably go Portsmouth, Liverpool, Tottenham. So, you know, we don't like them. And, you know, they're quite disliked. So I think the fans are going to be buzzing. They're going to be in the same tune as they were against Portsmouth, and they'll be fired up for it. A new stadium, new ground. I think we're going to get something. I really do have this feeling that we're going to go there and we're going to get a result, whether that be a draw or win. But I'm going to go 2-1, and I'm going to go Redmond and Ings to get on the score sheet.
I like that a lot, actually. And Mark there with another clean sheet. I'd take that too, even if it is a 0-0 like Tristan just said there. And that would be almost, that'd be extending our record, in fact, wouldn't it? It'd be sort of, it's three on the bounce, isn't it? Sort of all away victories now, because we're discounting the Bournemouth game, of course we are. But that was three in a row. If we make that another game on the road with a clean sheet, I think that's a club record.
Yeah, club record, and shows that we're improving defensively. As longer, I think we can achieve perhaps a clean sheet. I don't know. It's because Harry Kane seems to know where the back of the net is, especially at home. I saw what they did to Crystal Palace. So I don't know if a clean sheet would be on the cards. And I know it'll only take them, you know, if they put one goal in, we'll start waking up and playing our best football. So I hope we do get a clean sheet, but we've got to be playing right backs at right back, left backs at left back. No messing around, no Danzo on the left or Cedric on the left. We've got to play our defenders in their position. And I think Yoshida and Bednarak is our strongest pairing. They did enough to warrant on Tuesday night to warrant starting again the same defence. I think let's go there. Let's be confident. Let's try and get 3 points. Let's shock a few people. I believe, Freddie, this is going to be like the 15-16 season, where it's going to be a lot more open. You know, not like the teams drifting away the last couple of two seasons. I think Liverpool and City will be battling out at the top. I really do feel the way that Man United and Spurs are playing, that there's a team on the outside that's going to make top four. Perhaps Leicester, might even be us, being very optimistic there. But yeah, no, I know. I think it's going to be an interesting season. Even relegation, there doesn't seem to be a team, you know, cut adrift like Huddersfield last season. You can't really put your finger on who's going down.
Well, it's still early days yet, isn't it? This is the seventh game of the season. I think we should judge our targets by the 10th game.
Yeah. Was it, just to check the fact, was it Newcastle who have won at, did they win at Tottenham?
I think they did. Let me just quickly check that.
This season, because I don't want to start saying things that didn't happen. I'd be getting a lot of abuse for that.
I know they did turn.
Yeah, Newcastle win.
They did turn him over. I'm sure they did. Newcastle, 1-0 on Bank Holiday weekend, August.
Yep, so they've been beaten. Let's go there. Let's do the unexpected.
All right. I think that's about it then for tonight then, folks. Thanks so much for your comments. Do make sure you check back on Saturday. We'll both be there, won't we, Adil?
Yep, see you there, mate. New stadium, I'm buzzing, I'm excited. Unfortunately, my coach leaves at 9 o'clock, so I'm going to have about 3.5 hours to kill at the ground. So, yeah.
All right, excellent. Well, new stadium for all. Thanks for joining us, Tristan. Thanks for joining us, for everybody that's joined us in the comments as well. And do make sure you check back on Saturday. Thanks for watching. And Adil, thanks for joining me, mate.
Thank you very much, Freddie.
There we go then. Lots of positivity from our comments. How are you feeling ahead of Saturday? Get in touch with us on the usual social pages, or send us an email if you prefer, theuglyinside@gmail.com. But for now, it's time for your bite-sized away guide for those closer to home and our first visit to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Firstly, if you're travelling by train, I have some bad news. You guessed it, there's some bus replacements due to engineering works between Basingstoke and Woking on the main South Western Railway line into Waterloo. Now, your alternatives are to catch the cross-country service to Reading and change for London Paddington, or you can go the long way round from Southampton Central to London Victoria, or, of course, you can just suck it up and get the bus replacement for about 45 minutes extra. But once you're in London, you want to navigate to White Hart Lane. It was served by the Overground Line, and after orienteering around London, you need some liquid refreshment, right? So most fans may want to head to Liverpool Street, which is served by a large Wetherspoons just adjacent to the underground station called Hamilton Hall. And you can change at Liverpool Street for White Hart Lane direct there just after your breakfast. But there are some fantastic breweries and camera pubs nearby White Hart Lane. The Football Ground Guide recommends the Tottenham Brewing Company on Tariff Road. Three breweries on site. They're serving craft beer, real ale, cocktails, hot food, soft drinks. And it's only 5 minutes from the turnstiles and nearby the away coaches. Alternatively, you have the Haringey Irish Centre on Pretoria Road. It is listed as an away pub, which houses supporters in a large hall, Sky Sports on the TVs, and, of course, a family-friendly establishment. Of course, then, if you want a novelty, you can also soak up the atmosphere in the stadium and experience the American-style beer poured from the bottom up in the cup. Just maybe not try and pull a prank on your mate and push the bottom of the cup in, otherwise it'll pour faster out of your cup than it would pour in. Anyway, that is it for your bite-sized guide. But of course, you can do whatever you want. It is London after all. And that is pretty much full time for me then on the podcast. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. We appreciate your support. And you can also catch up with me and Nick on the Saturday morning radio show we have on Voice FM 103.9 from 10 till 12 for your matchday tunes. You can listen live on voicefmradio.co.uk or on the TuneIn Radio app around the world. That's it from me then. Thank you very much for listening, and up the Saints.